Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be with you all this Sabbath morning as we are worshiping the Lord together. You know, it's so good to get together, to have these moments where we get to see each other. During the week, we go through our busyness of our daily life. We go through the busyness of taking care of family members, doing different things, visiting, traveling during the week, coming back and forth, being tired, being fatigued, stressed. So good to come to church, to spend time together as a body of believers, a body of the body of Christ. You know, this is what it's all about. We are a people who believe in Jesus Christ. We are a people who believe in the second coming of Jesus. That's what brings us together. We are a people who are passionate about Jesus, who don't only want to live for Jesus, but want to share Jesus with others. And so, it's so good to come together, to feel the warmth of each other, to greet each other, to feel a part of a church and feel a purpose, but also to belong, to be accepted, and to be loved. It's so, so good for the soul to come together as a church of believers. I can't tell you enough how good it is to have people who pray for you. When you're struggling, when you're going through those moments that are hard, that's when you get your prayer warriors. That's when you rally together the troops. That's when you come together and you ask for prayer. And then there's a group of people in the church that come together and to pray. What a wonderful testimony that was given earlier. The solution, and not just the solution, but also the praise, that when what we do here matters. When we pray, God answers. God is faithful. And to see those prayers come to life and to see those prayers come to realize, man, what a wonderful thing it is. I say it and I say it often, but man, I don't know what people do without Christ. I don't know how you go through life without Jesus in your life. When those moments get hard, when those moments get difficult, who do you turn to? It's so good to have Christ at the center of our lives, someone that we can come to and talk to as a friend. It's so good to have also a body of believers, a close-knit group of friends that we can turn and ask for prayer and pray for. And so this morning, as we begin, we are in our last segment, A Great Cloud of Witnesses by Faith. Let us pray as we begin this morning. Dear Jesus, we ask, Lord, that your presence will continue to abide here in this place. Lord, open our hearts. Allow us, Lord, to be open and available to meet you where you want to meet us. Lord, whatever distractions, whatever we are facing, whatever we're thinking about, Lord, just for a moment, we ask, Lord, that Jesus will speak to us this morning. We ask, Lord, that we would be open and available to receive your word, and that we can hear your words encouraging us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so this morning, I ask with a question. As we are approaching the end of the year, if you don't realize it just yet, we are a couple of weeks away from ending 2025. And I was thinking about the year and everything that we have gone through, the milestones and just the things that we have gone through together as a church. And I'm thinking about the things that we have overcome, the things that we have wrestled through, and the things that we are journeying together. Because we're a family. We do things together. And I was thinking about what should I speak about this morning? Especially since this might be the last message for this year. What do I want the church to take away with them? And as I was thinking about this message for this morning, I came across a certain question. And the question goes something like this. Have you ever reached a place in life where you felt tired? Maybe physically, emotionally, or spiritually. After all, we are winding down in the year. We have gone through so much, and it's so easy for us to feel fatigued, to feel tired, to feel exhausted, whether it is spiritually, whether it is physically, whether it is emotionally. And have you ever wondered, how am I supposed to keep going? Hebrews 12, if you open your Bibles to Hebrews 12, it speaks right into that moment. Because as you know, we have covered and we started this journey in Hebrews chapter 10. We just got done with Hebrews 11, and now we are coming to a close. Hebrews chapter 12, after mentioning all the people in Hebrews chapter 11, like Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, who were flawed, broken, ordinary people who live by faith, the writer now turns to us in chapter 12. You see, chapter 11 and chapter 12, they pair together. They go together. Chapter 12 is a continuance of chapter 11. And now the writer, the apostle, turns to us in chapter 12 and says, "You're in the race now. Don't quit. Look to Jesus." Hebrews 11 is what is known as a faith relay. It's like there is this anticipation. There is this angst of running the race of life. Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, and so on, each ran their lap. And now Hebrews 12 begins with a stunning reality. The baton is now in your hands. Everybody else ran their race. Now the baton is in your hands. Imagine a 400-meter relay race. I can remember this picture comes to mind. Runners give everything and then they pass the baton to the next person. This individual that you are seeing in the screen reminds me a lot of the 1993 U Olympics. This is Michael Johnson. He anchored a U.S. team world record in 1993. And the men's 4x400-meter relay. This was a championship era for the United States. Multiple records broken. And now, in Hebrews chapter 11, the verse begins, "Therefore." Those are the first words that are mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore," meaning "for that reason," or meaning "consequently," right? After everything that I have mentioned, after everything that I have said in the previous chapter, which is chapter 11, "therefore, for that reason, consequently," therefore is an adverb. An adverb modifies or describes a verb. an adjective, by providing more information about how, when, where, or to what extent an action occurs. So therefore, the writer is giving us more information. The passage deals with the race of life. After the apostle has given his readers these examples of faith, you have watched all of these examples of faith that have been mentioned in the previous chapter, chapter 11. They ran their lap, their relay of faith. The baton now is in our hands. And the advice that the writer gives us is the central advice, the pinnacle point. The advice that he's keeping us is, now keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Look what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Who are these cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by? These are the patriarchs. These are the sages. These are the prophets, the heroines, the heroes. We are surrounded by these cloud of witnesses, exemplary of faith. Let us throw off everything that hinders. And then other versions, it says everything that's weighing us down. And the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. The cloud of witnesses, presumably the heroes or the heroines of chapter 11, in a metaphoric, symbolic way, they're surrounding the runners, meaning us. So here we are now with the baton on hand. We and each of us, we are running the race of faith. Baton in hand. Symbolically, metaphorically, these heroes, these heroines, these great cloud of witnesses, they already ran their lap of faith. Now they're coming and they are so presumably surrounding us as runners. And the example is, the writer says, follow their example. Just as they were faithful to God, you do the same. You be faithful to God too. But don't look up to them. Follow their example, but don't look to them. The invitation, the climax, and the point of the previous chapter is to point us in the direction of Jesus. That's the whole point. Let me ask you what maybe the cloud of witnesses in chapter 11 would ask us if they were here. What is entangling you today? What is keeping you from persevering? What has pulled you away? What has worn you down? What has quenched your fiery first love for God? And what is keeping you from letting Christ be supreme in all of your life? Many times, it's so easy. It's so easy for us when we are tired, when we are fatigued, when we are going through dark moments in our lives to just throw in the towel. Why am I going to church? Why do I need to keep going to church? Ah, maybe I'll just skip it this time. Oh, why am I doing this? Why do I need to keep doing this? Discouragement comes. Doubts may creep on us. Or maybe that's not it for us. Maybe, just maybe, we have come to the church thinking that the church is a safe haven. Maybe the church did something to us. Maybe someone in the church hurt us. Maybe something was said. Maybe something was done to us and we're thinking, I no longer want to go to the church because the church was supposed to be a safe haven was supposed to be an oasis for me, but instead of being a safe haven, the people there hurt me. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's the distractions and the busyness of life. You know, it can get so easy for us to get so busy to the point where we are not in tune with Christ. Because we're just, even with the things that are godly things, the things that are of God, we can get so busy that we miss the point of why we're doing them in the first place. There's a saying that says, if the devil can get you to sin, he'll make you busy. And there's a quote here from Eugene Peterson that really strikes a chord with me this morning, because it says, busyness is the enemy of spirituality. It is doing the easy thing instead of the hard thing. It is filling our time with our own actions instead of paying attention to God's action. Many times we want to do things, but we're just thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about how can this thing benefit me? Just human nature, we tend to be selfish. If we are honest about ourselves, we are egocentric people who are always thinking about ourselves. What would it look like if instead of looking to ourselves, we were to pay attention, instead of looking to our own actions, we were paying attention to what God's actions are for us towards other people? I guess what I'm trying to say is, dear friends, we must keep running the race that is set before us. We cannot dally down. We cannot weigh ourselves down. We cannot afford to let other people distract us. We cannot afford anything or anyone to take our crown away. We need to stay focused. We must persevere. Why? Because we worship a risen Savior. We worship a Lord who endured the suffering on the cross and is now reigning on high. He is not on the grave. And so we now must persevere. I'm not saying that the church always gets it right. But I am saying that there is a greater power. There is a higher calling that brings us all together. There is a higher purpose that God has for each and every single one of us, even those who are watching online. God has a purpose for you. The apostle invites us to run ahead, eyes fixed on Him, not looking back. We are not to shut ourselves down and struggle over our individual weaknesses. Many times, I don't know if this happens to you, but many times I've seen many of us experience moments of individual weakness where we are down on ourselves, where we believe the lie of the enemy. I am not worthy. I am not worthy to be loved. This is too good for me to believe. There's no possible way that God can save a wretch like me. There is no possible way. If God only knew what I've done, if God only knew what I've said, if God only knew what I... Oh, there's no possible way that God can save me. And we are down on ourselves. Instead of looking to the past, instead of looking to others or to ourselves, we are to dash for the finish line. Firmly focus on Jesus. If we are looking to the back, if we are looking to others, if we are looking to each other, our eyes are not focused on Jesus. There is no way to advance forward if we are looking backwards. Notice what the text continues to say. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. for the joy set before him. Many people believe that what this text is referring to is that God knew what Jesus would have to endure. The shame of the cross, the spitting, the crucifixion, the death. But God had a plan. Through his son Jesus, he said, for the joy that's set before him. How does that even make sense? Because God knew what would come out of that. You see, when Jesus and his Father looked at us, he said, I know what is going to take. Yes, there's going to be mocking. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. But God did not dodge the bullet. God took the bullet head on for you and me because he knew what the cross would bring about. Salvation. That's why it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew the finality. He knew what would come as a consequence of the cross. Salvation, love for humanity. And look what it says on there. Consider him. Consider him. Consider him. Have you considered Jesus? Have you considered the person of Jesus? Have you considered the God of Scripture whose joy you are? Have you considered the scars of the crucified Christ? Have you beheld the beauty of Jesus and the kindness of the Father? Have you fueled the vehicle of your soul with the presence of the living God? Have you considered Jesus for yourself? You see, family, we must resolve in our hearts to serve the Lord. If there's something that I would have to say as we are winding down this year, is to resolve in our hearts to follow Jesus. To not let anyone or anything take our focus away from God. If there's something that we're struggling this morning, give it to Jesus. If there's something that we're dealing with, God is at the door. Give it to God. You cannot do life alone. Life in church as a community is not meant to be done alone. Life is meant to be done together as a community. Life is meant to be done together with Jesus. We must resolve in our hearts to serve the Lord. What does that look like, though? Because all that you're talking about sounds good, but what does that look like? And it looks like working together to accomplish the kingdom of God in our community. Sending literature, doing Bible studies, sending mail outs, pouring into our local neighborhood, doing the dental, the vision clinic, doing the things where we are pouring life into our community. We sacrifice our talents, our treasures, our time for God. We must keep our hearts surrendered to Jesus. Our hearts belong to God. We must run this race with endurance, and we must persevere as we're look today. The message that we have is a good message. It's not a bad message, but it's a good message. This message is not only beautiful, but is a message that is true and is urgent. This is too good for us to keep to ourselves. We need to share that with others. Family, the point is this. We ought to live by faith and not by sight. This is what the writer in the book of Hebrews is coming to a close as he is giving and delivering this last message. As he's ending his thought that started at the beginning of chapter 10 and it's ending in the chapter 12. This is the message. We must live by faith and not by sight. That the accomplishment of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, his burial, through his ascension, through his ministry in heaven as high priest. While it has broken down all the barriers between God and humanity, has still left a waiting time for people who live in the hope of the second coming. And that perseverance and endurance are therefore necessary for those who, trusting in Jesus as high priest and his sacrifice, hold the title deed to a better country. You see, because of what Jesus has done, we already hold the deed to a better country. It's already ours. I thought it would hit harder, but okay. It's already ours.
Amen.
You see, a lot of people believe that we have to work up for it, or we have to earn it. But according to the book, and the writer in the book of Hebrews, he says that the beginning point, the starting point, begins with us holding the title deed in our hands. Salvation is ours. Jesus Christ has done everything through his ministry, through his sacrifice as high priest. Otherwise, he would not have told us so. Look what it says. Go with me really quickly. I was not going to say this, but let's look at John chapter 14 really quickly. John chapter 14. Don't believe what I say. Believe what the Bible says. Look what it says. John chapter 14, verses 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. By the way, this is Jesus. He's saying this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? So the place is already there. He's there. He's prepared this place. And look what it says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And that's the good news of the gospel. The title deed is already in our hands. It's not because we deserve it, because none of us deserve it. It is by his grace, by his love, that he has given us the right. He has sent Jesus Christ, the Messiah, think about this, to die as an atoning sacrifice for your sins, for my sins, so that you and I can be reunited in heaven with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. And that's the good news of the gospel. I think of the great line of the book of Education where it says, "The Lord is coming. We hear the footsteps of an approaching God." We must be a church that is aware and awake to the sufferings of our community, to the despair of our neighbors, to the poverty of our community, to the brokenness in families, and to a world without the gospel. This is too good for us to keep it to ourselves. That's the mission, the vision of the church. If we are not doing this, then why do we exist? This is the reason why we are here. This is the reason why we belong. Whether we have been met with challenges and others, we must press on because Jesus is worthy. Because Jesus Christ came and died and rose and reigns and promises to return. And because of this, we must respond to his calling. We must give our lives to the gospel because we don't carry bad news. We carry good news. We don't carry sad news. We carry good news. We have good news of a coming Savior who will finally and fully defeat sin, Satan, and death. And that, my friend, is good news. And if you're not familiar with the Bible or Scripture, or maybe you are, or if you're new to the Bible, please hear this. The return of Jesus is the end of all suffering. The return of Jesus is the end of all suffering. The coming of Jesus Christ is the end of disaster, disease, depression, division, disinformation, disability, and death. Is that not good news?
Yes.
And because of this good news, it is worth committing and persevering and staying the course. You already have the title deed. The baton's in your hands. What you're going to do with it. And so the world might be spiraling. The world might be suffering. There might be some uncertainty on the horizon. Things are happening all the time in the world. Our community might be hurting, especially during the holidays, for those who don't have family. Did you know that during the holidays, especially around December, suicide rates are high? But we got good news of a loving Savior that's coming to the world. And we get the privilege of sharing that with others. The Lord is coming. We hear the footsteps of an approaching God. Amen. Our loving Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, we know that there's many things that can come during this time of the year. Lord, we are all dealing with different things, Lord, and we just pray that you can keep our focus on the things that matter, the things that are eternal, the things that are coming to our focus would be those of Jesus. Lord, you're the most important thing in our lives. Lord, we just pray that we would continue to be faithful to you to the very end. We long to be with you for eternity, Lord. We can't wait for you to come back soon. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would keep us safe, keep us waiting till that day comes soon. In Jesus' name we pray.